Good morning. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry, and I'm here with Celeste Headlee, who's up in New York. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, Celeste, you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago the economy is weak. We all know that, and things are tight just about everywhere. But is the legal system really the place where we want to squeeze? There's a new report out from NYU's Brennan Center for Justice, and it finds that states are imposing new fees on defendants, including 13 states that charge for public defenders. Now, money is tight all around, but if somebody can't pay, is this a form of justice denied for the accused? Joining us now is Rebecca Diller, Deputy Director of the Justice Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. She's one of the principal researchers in the center's report that I just mentioned. And also on the line is Scott Burns, Executive Director of the National District Attorneys Association and an association of prosecutors. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rebecca Diller, this is your report. Let me start with you because I'm a little bit confused. I thought that everyone in this country had a right to legal counsel regardless of their ability to pay. I was confident in that before I read your report.
That's true, except that in many states you may have to pay an application fee to apply for a public defender. And you may have to pay after all is said and done to reimburse the state for the costs of your defense. And those are just two of the fees that can attach to criminal proceedings. There's a whole bunch of others, like court costs, the costs of your jail stay, the costs of your punishment. And what our report does is it looks at the way that these all add up.
And what have you found? What does it mean for somebody with no ability to pay who's confronting a criminal charge? Are there cases where people just can't afford a decent defense?
Well, you know, we found that people often will get the defense anyway and then end up owing on the back end. There are sometimes when, of course, the fear of making the payment and the inability to make the payment makes people waive their right to counsel. But much more frequently, what happens is that people emerge from the whole criminal process with substantial debt. And we're talking about a largely indigent population. And what we found in our report was that the number of these user fees that are attached to criminal cases is rising. And very often people emerge from the whole process owing a lot of money and setting themselves up, and really that's in a way that is setting them up for failure when they're unable to pay and can't quite get out of this entanglement with the criminal justice system.
And this sounds like a case of cash-strapped states trying to save money everywhere, now trying to save it, making up budget shortfalls by charging, well, poorer people for counsel and for access to the courts. Scott Burns, you represent an association of district attorneys, prosecutors. Does that sound right? Are states using poor people to make up budget shortfalls?
Well, you know, I just got a chance to read the report last evening, and I'm with you, Todd. I mean, my understanding is if you are indigent in this country, you're entitled to defense. And, you know, I'm just curious, Rebecca, if it's based on some ability to pay or some sliding scale or if there's an assessment done. I can't imagine that somebody who's truly indigent, probably with dependent children or other obligations, who has absolutely no money, is required to pay a fee before they're represented by a counsel.
But Rebecca, you say that even if they're not required to pay a fee, the threat of paying a fee might cause them to waive counsel or to be in debt for years to come after their interaction with the court system.
Yeah, I mean, there were three states we looked at in our report where they don't waive your public defender fee if you can't pay up front. And largely what happens is you end up owing that money and that debt trails you. So I think the bigger point that our report is making is that when you impose all these fees at every stage of the criminal justice system, you end up with a largely indigent population that owes significant amounts of money to the state. And that has a whole bunch of consequences. I mean, that means that folks are likely to stay ensnared in the criminal justice system longer. We talked about places where if you're not able to pay, you can be arrested if you haven't shown up in court to explain your failure to pay. So there are all these consequences that ensue when you start off imposing fees on a really indigent population.
I want to ask Scott Burns, even if it is just three states that don't waive attorney's fees for people who don't have an ability to pay, as somebody who works in the court system, is that three too many? What does that say to you?
Yeah, I would have to look at those states. You know, the study, I think Rebecca said that if you talk to 100 people, that's two a state. And I guess if they concentrated on 15 states, that's only 6 or 7 per state. Honestly, I walked around my office yesterday, and prosecutors had worked in Indiana and Hawaii and New York and West Virginia and Texas and New Jersey and Utah and Washington State. And, you know, to the woman, to the man, they just looked at me with a blank stare and said, you know, one, let's don't forget the underlying all of this, the fact that somebody violated the law, an assault, a DUI, a weapons charge, something.
Or was accused of violating
or
the law.
Accused.
Let's stipulate.
Uh-huh.
That's the point.
And are now in the criminal justice system, but in the same breath said, I can't ever remember a judge sending someone to jail because they didn't pay her a fee or a fine, and that none of them ever asked for that. I mean, they said it is so common to have extended time over and over again, or to reduce the fine, or to waive the fine, because it absolutely makes no sense. If someone owns $1,000, they don't pay it, and so we lock them up in a jail for $25,000 to $3,000 a month.
It's just, which costs more.
I honestly think that we try and do individual justice in each individual case, and you can find anomalies on the margins of, you know, a woman in North Carolina that owes $2,800 and is going to go to jail if she doesn't pay it. But for the most part, I think we really do try and get it right.
Rebecca Diller, you get the last word here. Have you found anomalies or a pattern?
Well, we found enough of a pattern in the 15 states that we looked at to say it's a serious issue of concern. I mean, I think that Scott and I agree that doesn't make sense for somebody to go to jail for owing money. But we found that in many ways the system sets them up for the return to jail. And it's possible that the reason the folks in his office have not seen this is that very often this kind of thing takes place after the case is over, where someone's put on a payment plan and then a warrant can issue and they haven't made a payment, and it's not,
and they owe money on the back end.
Prosecutor wouldn't be around for that.
Yeah, they owe money on the back end. Rebecca Diller, author of the report at the Brennan Center at NYU, Scott Burns, executive director of the National District Attorneys Association. Thank you both for joining us.